Well, it's time for me to let you enjoy Ime as I've been. It's so nice to have her back in Pittsburgh, and she's going to do an acoustic set. Ime and the Sound Men is her band, and we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about the album I just mentioned. We'll talk about the necklace she wears and the photo on that album. But before we talk, let's you and I listen. Here's Ime. That's Ime. Tell me about that song.
That song, it has a long and meandering history, but I started singing that back when I lived in Pittsburgh, actually, and it was part of a much bigger song. And, you know, it was just basically one verse. All the lyrics that I just sang to you were all in one verse. And in doing some pre-production for this album that we put out in February, I had a Pittsburgh singer-songwriter, Ben Shannon, join me and help me kind of fine-tune some of the songs. And I said, this one, I think there's something here, but I don't know, it needs something. And he listened to the song and he said, it has too much. He said, this verse right here is its own song. Just slow it down and see what you get. And so I kind of spaced out the lyrics and it worked. And I think that started a trend for me to do some more sparse lyrics rather than try to fit, an epic into each song.
Well, knowing you as I do, and this is a compliment, you're an artist's artist in terms of your own creation. So to have, and Ben is a great person to do it, but that had to be kind of an interesting invasion of your lyric. I mean, you asked for the help.
I did
but
ask for it.
have you done that before?
Never. I had co-written back when I was playing with Between Liberties. We were all, influencing each other's songs, and we would play them all together. So I've been in bands, but this was the first time I had really taken direct input from another songwriter. We weren't working on his songs. We were working on mine. The product was going to be an album. And I think I was pretty open-minded. I mean, generally, I think, despite, what you say.
I mean that as a compliment, too.
I hear it as a compliment.
It takes a lot of courage to let somebody in like that.
Definitely. And it was so rewarding. I feel like the way, and since then, I've been able to open up to other songwriters' input, and I'll probably play another one later on that is a collaboration with another songwriter Bill Danilo. And so it's become a way of working for me where I'm really much more open to input. And it translates into a live scenario too, where like I'll try more things out live before I really know what I'm doing with them, and so the audience will influence it. And, I think I've always believed that music is like an open channel, and to really be able to call myself an artist, I have to be willing to let the flow go both ways.
So. Yeah, and have your songs change over time. I've been referring to this album cover, which you can't see as you listen, unless you're already familiar with it. And this is classic me. I've looked at this album cover a lot. It's the album, Let Out Your Ghosts.
There's two of us on the album cover.
Yes, and I've only seen one of you on the album cover. I don't know my reptiles. But is that a boa or what is?
It's a python.
It's a python.
It is.
She is wearing a python. I never happened to notice that.
I'm not quite sure how you missed it.
I don't either.
It's a very large, for the audience listening that cannot see this. This is a very large python. It is entirely wrapped around my shoulders. I am holding it.
I'd say
it takes up more of the album cover than I do.
I think it does. It sort of blends into the background a little bit, but I think I was just looking at your face.
I like how much humans are attached to humans, though, because you're not the first person to say, oh, this is beautiful. Oh, my God. There's a snake on you. Did you know it was there? It's like, yes, I was very well aware.
Now, do you know
have to be when holding
Do you know this snake?
I did. Unfortunately, that snake has passed away.
Aww.
But it had a brother. There were two of them during the shoot. I guess sister. They were. I think. Yeah, Thor and Adis were the two snakes we did during that shoot. We wound up using them for a video shoot, as well. And my friend who snapped that picture I was like, well, there's the album cover. That's it.
It looks like a nice snake. I mean, a friendly snake.
I've always loved snakes. And then as I was doing the research for this, I kind of had the idea before the shoot, of course. But then I started researching it after I had made this commitment to doing this shoot with this snake. And it's the snake is a totem, an animal totem for creativity, for things coming full circle, for health and well-being. I mean, it really was like all the things
Caduceus
I stand for in music.
And medicine has that, right?
Yeah, it's a really ancient totem. And I think for very valid reasons, people can be freaked out by it. But I have always really loved snakes. If it was a spider crawling on my shoulder, like, no way.
One of those furry spiders.
No. I'd like to pretend they don't exist.
If you're just joining us, Ime is here. Ime from New England, lived in Pittsburgh for a long time, and now is in West Virginia, where
West by God.
Bees are there being tended at the farm, and there's music and art and all sorts of things. And you're booking the Purple Fiddle too, right? Are you?
No, I have a very close relationship with the Purple Fiddle, but John, the owner there, does all the booking. And but we're playing there in September. Me and the rock band are going to hit that stage. And it's really nice to play, to have such an amazing venue and to be able to play local shows at a place that has such an amazing history and is really in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we have this one really thriving arts district that, when I say district, I have to like tune city people in to be like, it's exactly two city blocks long. But that's, you know, I think per capita, we probably have more galleries and artist spaces, especially if you consider, you know, the record shop and the music venue as art spaces, which I for sure do.
What's the record shop?
Quattro Music.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually, it opened the week I got there, and I said, okay, I can live here now.
It's neat. I mean, there are, Johnstown is developing a thriving arts district. Though I have not been there, Oil City has been coming along with a really great arts corridor and a lot of good things. Clarion has a lot going on.
Well, I had this flash recently of why I love living in Dry Fork in close proximity to Thomas, West Virginia, which is the town we're talking about. And it's the same reason I loved living in Pittsburgh. And I think times have just shifted a little bit. And I'm sure it's still true in Pittsburgh. But when I graduated from college, as a young person, you had an ability to really shape your surroundings here. I mean, within a few years of graduating, I had worked with the cultural district folks downtown. I had started a music venue in Lawrenceville back before it was like, you know, known throughout the country as this place to move if you're coming to Pittsburgh. But, you know, and the ability to really make a difference in our community was really palpable. And I hope that that's still true for everybody here. But I know it was true then. And I had that wonderful experience. And now I think that the, you know, not necessarily, like, I want to call them second tier just because they're not as big as New York or LA or Chicago, but not because I think they're still way cooler. Just I love Pittsburgh.
It's
we'll always be a Pittsburgher.
It's a different scale.
It's a different scale. And I feel like people are recognizing now, like the last time I was in Los Angeles, there was a big sign that said, LA is home full, go home. And it's true. The big cities are just overrun and it's very expensive. It's much too expensive to be as creative as I think a lot of the people I spend time with want to be. You know, you really have to hustle and it does drain the creativity a little bit. But I do love going to big cities and it's a different kind of thriving. And then Pittsburgh is just going in so many different directions right now. But Thomas is just like still totally centered on the arts, the feeling of, you know, collaboration, of expression. And it's really a very exciting place to be, as tiny as it is. You know, it's there's not much, but everything that's going on is wonderful.
The farm is Heathberry Farms. You know,
Healthberry.
That's I'm sorry. You know, I was having trouble remembering it. Isn't that weird? Because you're probably not aging as rapidly as I am, but there's actually, I'm sure this happens. There's things on the tip of my tongue. And I was thinking, what's the name of the farm? What's the name of the farm? Healthberry, that's it. Or Heathberry,
well,
that's it.
You also have hundreds of visitors a month and
many
wonderful employees to keep track of.
I know Ben. Ben, yep, you know, beekeeper, you know, wildflowers, all these lovely things happening there. Erica May, Ime, so nice to have you here. And Ime, I was looking at imemusic.com is where you go. Or wherever fine music is digitized is available to.
You can see the snake yourself.
You can see the snake. We should listen to you play some more songs. I could talk all day. What would you like to play?
We're talking about the spirit of collaboration, so I'll play one that... do you mind me getting a little bit...
I'll say no. I don't mind you doing anything.
Well, so. Great. I'll do another song off the album. And this one comes with a little... We've got to set the mood. I know it's a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon, but we're going to turn the lights down low and imagine ourselves in a dark place for a second. The song to me is a reminder of the agency that we take over our own lives and how important that is, especially now.
And fear that God has gone and left us here, far from our home, with no one to carry the torchlight. Blind and cold on the dark night, oh God ain't showing up tonight. He's going alone, no one will carry the torchlight. He's going alone, yes, no one will carry the torchlight. Place have no end. Fire comes down the mountain. You can shine the way home, or we can be burned by the torchlight. I said I can shine the way home, or we can be burned by the torchlight. Don't you know the darkest places we'll ever go, they are buried underneath our own bones. We go it alone, we are the ones with the torchlight. But no one will know if we don't carry the torchlight. Oh no, no one will know if no one will carry the torchlight. So carry the torchlight, oh.
Ime, that song is uplifting and dark at the same time, actually. It's interesting. If without that preamble you gave, I find some hope in that song.
I'm glad.
And a lot of honesty. That also appears on the album Let Out Your Ghosts, and it's a great album. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This was a dream of yours too, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, not creating an album, but she's done that. But I mean, this was the California,
you know,
full studio experience. And
yeah. I think, excuse me. I think every musician, I was just talking with someone else who did a lot of DIY You know, Deutschtown Music Festival is a great place to wander around and see all the musicians in Pittsburgh.
Every single one.
Every single musician in Pittsburgh seems to be there this weekend.
In fact, we left a little late last night, and when we left, it was unbelievable. It was oh, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so.
But we were talking about the difference between going into a real studio and doing it on your own. You know, the band that I play in now is called Ime and the Soundmen because we all have been sound engineers, myself included. You know, we have a guy that does home recording. We have the soundman that works at the Purple Fiddle. We, you know, we all have experience behind the board, so to speak. And doing it yourself is just a different experience than being surrounded by the support of a studio and, of course, the great equipment. And in my case, because at that time I didn't have a band and I had been kind of known as this songwriter, and I do this a lot, you know, me and a guitar walk into a studio or walk into a club. And I love that, but I got into music for the collaborative nature of it, and playing with a band is just always 10 times for me, and hopefully for the audience too, what it is when it's just me by myself. And so we went to Los Angeles and put together this really just amazing group of musicians to play. These were musicians that I listened to growing up, and I knew that going in, so I was like, I don't know, I could be intimidated, but they were just wonderful folks and definitely in the spirit of music. They are musicians, and I was just thrilled to work with them. I've stayed in touch with them all. It was such a brilliant experience to be able to walk in, super pro musicians, super pro studio, and walk out with an album that really, you know, the artist is the biggest critic of themselves, I think, and at a certain point, you just have to keep doing it and push it out. And like, we're not here to judge it, but you do. You know, we have to make it though, so we can't stay there too long. But this is the first album that I've said, like, this is what these songs are supposed to sound like. This is, this does the music the kind of service that I wanted it to.
That's another courageous step. I mean, it's pretty bold to do something like that. And it's also really gratifying that people who you might certainly don't know as well as say, the Soundmen or others, but you've been steeped in the same traditions of music and the same, it's almost like having the same language or perhaps having the same, I hate to say country of origin, but the same roots. You know, there's things that you know that give you affinity for one another at a deeper level before other aspects of your personalities, right? Because you live and breathe music.
Well, that's interesting for sure. We met through the music first. You know, I had heard recordings from all of most of the guys. No, I think all of them, because the producer would send me like, oh, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? And I'd be like, you know, he nailed it except for the bassist. And then we were looking for a bassist. And I was like, well, the drummer probably plays with some of the drummer was Michael Jerome. He plays with Richard Thompson's band. And I was like, well, he plays with, you know, who's the bassist for Richard Thompson's band? And his name is Taras Prudeniuk. So Michael Jerome and Taras both play with Richard Thompson. And
then you have, is it
Rami?
Rami Jaffe. Rami Jaffe on keys and organ. And Mark Ford.
Yeah. And Mark Ford is notorious for playing all those wonderful guitar licks on all the Black Crowes records. And Rami was if you put in the first Wallflowers record, there's that big sweeping keys, I can still hear it. And as soon as he said, oh yeah, Rami Jaffe played on the first Wallflowers record, I like heard that line in my head. And I hadn't listened to it since the mid-90s, late 90s, whenever that album came out. I was like, that is a great keyboard player. If you can remember it from listening to it as a teenager, middle schooler, and be like, yeah, that was good. So it was great. I mean, and I think being able to really hear those songs and know passion for this music and their skill level before knowing anything about their personality. They, of course, had heard the demo tracks that Jimmy Hoisin, the producer, sent to them of mine. And so, you know, it was kind of like a greeting card. It's like we got the musical handshake before we actually laid eyes on each other. So
yeah, it's neat. It's like a really good blind date where those who set you up, you knew, it's like, hey, you're from the same country or mm-hmm. from the same religion or from the same whatever, and it works. My analogies aren't exactly right, but
it's good. Yeah. I mean, I think that I have to give a lot of credit to Jimmy Hoisin, who produced the record, for hearing in, you know, la da da, you know, me and an acoustic guitar, these songs that are much more fully developed and have this band that is really true to who I am musically. He just nailed it without a whole lot of conversation. And that's just a credit to how tuned in he was to the music as well.
Ime is here with us. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Community Radio. Thanks for doing that. We'll talk with Ime about places you can hear her live that are maybe close to where you are or not too far away from the Pittsburgh area, but let's have her play another song. What would you like to do next?
Well, I've been playing with this rock band, so I've done this one acoustic a few times, but I'd like to try a song called Telling Lies. It maybe is a little less hopeful than the other one, but I think it's also very true. You know, you wind up in situations where you realize that just the truth isn't the thing at the forefront, and why. So this is kind of a poetic take on that. It's called Telling Lies.
Ime here at SLB. That's a good song. That's not on the album, is it?
It is not. It'll be on the next album. We're just starting pre-production for a first Ime and the Soundmen record.
Excellent.
So that is a sneak preview of what you can get on that next album whenever it comes out.
I was wondering about that. Speaking of Ime and the Soundmen, I was thinking you were at Deutschtown tonight. I'm kind of bummed you're not because I can't see you there. But you're going to be in West Virginia tonight. Where are you playing?
We are. Yeah, we played at Deutschtown last night. It was such a blast. I love playing that festival. I've been before, but this is my first year playing. We are playing tonight in Morgantown, if you happen to be heading south. Do you have a Morgantown affiliate? You don't.
We don't. We'd love one.
Oh, so. Hey, Morgantown.
Morgantown. We're looking at you.
I would love that. But we're playing at Morgantown, a place called Jeans. I think it's the oldest live music bar in Morgantown. And we've played at like 123 Pleasant Street, some other places there. It's a fun town.
I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be a place called the Hotel Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And they would play us in the lobby Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
And we would always hear from people listening there. But I'm talking in the late 70s, early 80s. But I would think a place like the Hotel Morgan might look a little different. You would think that it would still exist.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I think it's still pretty much the same. There's a lot of those like historic buildings that are, it's really nice to keep them historic rather than update them all modern like.
Yeah, Morgantown's got a lot going for it too. There's a lot to see and do there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know if you'll be back in Pittsburgh for anything soon?
I don't have anything on the books, but that always changes, and I keep the list on emaymusic.com/shows is the best way. It's pretty well updated. We'll be going on a little bit of a fall tour and then again in the spring, but I try to get up here at least a couple times a year.
Good. Take a look, emaymusic.com, and we've linked to that page as well as Ime's Facebook page. From slbradio.org and from our own Facebook page, so you can see her and follow her, like her, all these things that
too
you
many
can
things.
Do. Yeah, they're really...
I would really like one way to communicate with people again. You know, like people used to have the phone.
Yeah.
You call them. There's too many options now. It gets really confusing.
There are too many, and it gets hard to keep them straight. It surely does.
You guys
does.
Can call me if you want. My phone number's probably on there somewhere. Just give me a call.
Just call. She'll answer. That's what we did. I think we have time for two more songs, as long as that's Goodbye You.
Sure.
What would you like to do?
I'm not playing you my typical like morning SLB set. I hope that's okay.
Of course it's okay. You know, the last time you were here, you were also tremendous, and we've been actually replaying a lot of the songs.
Okay.
So
I should know
them.
What songs were you playing, so I don't play them again.
We've been playing Sweet Human.
Okay.
And the other, I don't, and you're welcome to play them again, but one we've played a lot, and I don't know the name, Get 'em High, Get 'em Low.
I remembered playing those two, so I knew not to go there today. So,
but
okay,
those
great.
Two,
good,
those,
I'm glad you're
those two have gotten
enjoying those two.
A really
those
strong response. We've been playing others too. What is Get 'em High, Get 'em Low? Is that the name of it?
Get 'em high, and we get 'em low. Get a mind.
I'll give you the abridged version.
Yeah.
How about that? I'll do a different version.
Uh-huh.
We get 'em high and we get 'em low. We get 'em high and we get 'em low. We only get these days, you know. So we get 'em high, we get 'em low. I've got a heart as big as the river is wide. I've got a heart as big as the river is wide. Keep it tucked safe, the ear inside. This heart is big, this river is wide. Oh, we get 'em high and we get 'em low. We get 'em high and we get 'em low. We only get these days, you know. So we get 'em high and we get 'em low. Oh, and I die. my body sleep and bury me under that maple tree so I can stay with the ones who love me. Oh, baby, like you do. And if you ever need me, call my name. If I need you, I will do the same. I whisper to you in the wind and the rain, and I will come back for you again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh yeah, yeah.
Thanks that's for live. Playing that.
Yeah, I live radio for
I like that song. That's there's a lot I like about it.
I love
like,
playing here. So yeah. Thank you for continuing to do what you do and to, I mean, just you're such a staple in this community of like good authentic radio, good authentic music, community service. I mean, let me just brag on you a bit while I'm here and get a chance to. Well, I just really appreciate the work that you guys do here.
Shucks. Thank you. It's still a joy. It's still a lot of fun, and
it has to be because it's obviously very hard work too. Every Saturday for how many years? 40? Is it 40?
Yeah, it is. It's 41, and as they'd say in your homeland, 41 and a half. But who's counting? Did you have a mother who says did half?
I did not. Is this the New England?
The New England?
West Virginia?
Oh, no. The New
okay.
England.
I thought you were going for the West Virginia.
Oh,
there's a
oh,
big
no.
German population in West Virginia, so like
really?
A lot of the like hill and holler accent is like based in Germanic language.
I didn't know that. I always think of Irish rather than German.
No, that's Boston. Catholic. Yeah.
But
maybe some Irish.
My mom would say things as she was adjusting to Pittsburgh that I'm going to start saying. Then I'm putting half and half in my coffee. You know, she was.
That's great.
Yeah, like trying to get us all. I didn't know that about West Virginia. That's
There's an area called Germany Valley that we're not far from, and it's beautiful. Although my favorite immigrant West Virginia story is the Swiss village called Helvetia. Which is basically a tiny Swiss mountain town plucked out of the Alps and put in West Virginia. And I just have this impression of like the early settlers climbing up these really steep mountains in the middle of winter and being like, this feels like home. You know?
Yes, let's make chocolate and watches and all the other
well,
things.
Well, they did like make their own cheese and they were all beekeepers. And so you go up now, there's like the Hütte, which does authentic Swiss food. And like they have.
Really?
It's very authentic.
Where is it?
Helvetia, West Virginia, also known as the middle of nowhere.
it is
literally up in the mountains, technically at the other end of our county, although probably closer than I am to you.
Okay, and what county are you in?
Randolph County.
Okay, so it's at least that's good to know, at least that much. Are you working with kids at all there?
Actually, and a lot of it is tethered to the work that that I started doing when I was here. Full disclosure for anyone that hadn't picked that up yet, I have been an SLB employee back in the day.
Yes,
when I lived in Pittsburgh.
But, a fine one.
And the work that I'm doing with kids now is mostly art and music and writing centered still. So like we do a lot of writing exercises again to help people express their stories. And then I've expanded it into this year. We're doing a summer camp that's art and music and writing. So we'll be like using our work with writing to influence how we're listening to songs and song structure and poetry. and then using all that to connect it to visual arts. It's all pretty interconnected in my head. So I'm basically just teaching them how I think about
how,
the world.
How old you're creating the future?
Uh-oh, watch out, world.
How old are the kids?
They are, let's see, this year we have like 6 to 12 or 13. Yeah, it's really fun. I've been doing it for 5 years now, and May wound up. I've taught in the school a little bit, just like kind of after school programs and music and writing. So I think it's really important, and I'm sure you do too. This continuation of like, you know, how to share and what to share and talking with kids as an adult is really critical. But
definitely,
I don't know what you were gonna say.
I'm just thinking through a lot of students and adults I've met from West Virginia that were raised in West Virginia seem to be very place-bounded. I was going to say culturally bounded, but I'll say more place-bounded. From knowing West Virginia, my home, as a song, to understanding the basic history of the state. And I've always found that really at once impressive and charming. And I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
Oh, yeah. It would be hard to miss.
And I don't know if it's because it's a smaller state or if it's just the education standards, but a sense of identity that grounds you to create your own identity beyond that. That's one thing. If you saw my wheels turning, that's what I was thinking about.
Well, I think it's a really complex idea and can get really, you know, controversial quickly too. You know, if we as city folks or world travelers are looking at that in a certain way, but I know that's not what you mean.
No,
at all.
It's, yeah.
So just to clarify, I mean, I think that what I've noticed is this connection to a sense of place that is like just an amazing, like I wish I had that growing up, but I moved twice before I graduated high school, and then I moved again for college, and then I moved again, you know, and I was never in the same house after high school for more than 3 years. And, you know, you might get to know one neighborhood really well, but then a different one. And by the time you go back, it's changed. And, I think things are much more fluid in a city in that way. And, you know, we have a neighbor across the street whose great, great times 10 grandfather walked into those hills and settled the place back when it was first settled. And I mean, just some incredible stories of the history of the land that you just hear. I mean, and I'm a transplant. I've been there for 7 or 8 years now. And I just hear the stories, but these folks lived it. And, you know, we say that, Ben's got a daughter who is, was born there, but she's still not totally considered local because her parents weren't from there. And like, if you don't know the three generations of this person, then you really don't know the person. And I think that that's a really interesting thing that we've lost in a lot of ways in a modern society, this connection to like, not just who you are as a person in this moment and what you're telling me, but like, who are you historically? Like, what do your genes belong to? What does your philosophy belong to? What is your land like? What is your heart like? And that's really, it's deep and powerful, I think.
Yeah, and that's, I'm glad you clarified too, because my observation there about West Virginia is meant to be very complimentary. It's certainly not everyone's the same. It's just that there's this sense of grounding that allows you to develop your spirit as you choose.
Totally.
And it's
that's in a nutshell why I'm there, is I felt very disassociated from the core of myself in a city, which I didn't realize until I was down there for about 5 years.
Huh.
And it just dawned on me recently. I have a painting show hanging in Thomas next weekend. And it's all, you know, I'm getting back to seeing things that were unseen before, and things like the mountains. Yeah. That's a pretty mountain, but like, you know, I've climbed some of those mountains and I know what's up there, and I know the trees and the vegetation, and it's a different pace, you know. And so then I fly from West Virginia to Los Angeles and confuse the heck out of myself, but it feels really good. It like satisfies both types of my personality to live there and travel.
You're listening to the voice of Ime, and I'm going to have her play us out after I thank it's imemusic.com. Time really flew, my goodness. Thanks to Monifa Miller. The festival Gastro Caribe is today celebrating Caribbean and West Indian culture, 3 to 11 o'clock at Mellon Park. And thanks to Stephen and Sean and Kayla from Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. We'll look for you next week, and Ime will play us out. Thank you. Look for the new album from Ime called Let Out Your Ghosts. Look for Ime and the Soundmen, and follow what's going on at imemusic.com/shows.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thanks, Ricky. And Chad. And all you guys listening. Chad gave me a challenge to play a song that had two vowels in it, and I wasn't sure if Y counted, but this one's called Mystery. Love is here and it's mostly a mystery, then it's gone and it's only a memory. Love is here and it's mostly a mystery, then it's gone and it's only a memory. Love is here and it's mostly a mystery, then it's gone and it's only a memory. Love, mostly a mystery. Singing in harmony, then it's gone and I'm living the melody. Love is here and I'm singing in harmony, then it's gone and I'm living the memory. Love is here and it's mostly a mystery, then it's gone and it's only a memory.